You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
So introduce yourself. Like, I'm blah, blah, blah. Say whatever you want.
Nick Mangold.
I'm Nick Mangold. Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
That's it. Let's walk away. Welcome to the NFL Player Second Acts Podcast. I'm Peanut Tillman. This is my guy, Rome. I get him off guard every single time with that. What's up, baby?
What's up, man? I'm good, man. Hey. All of our listeners and viewers, because we are here. Hey, shout out to iHeart Radio Studios, too,
for
having us and hosting us up here in New York City. I always appreciate it. A couple of times we've been up here. The studio is magnifico. Anyways, all of our followers and listeners out there, make sure you hit that, click that button, follow, give us a review. 5 stars, please. As always, thank you. And please remember to always tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Peanut, who's our guest today?
We got a goodie. His bio is pretty long, so forgive me.
So is his beard.
So is his beard. But
just cut it.
A first round pick by the Jets in 2006.
Out of the Ohio State.
I don't know why we got to say the, but he's from the Ohio State.
It's on their diploma, too.
played 11 years at center with this one team, the Jets. He's 2-time first team All Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler. Inducted into the Jets Ring of Honor 2022. He has a podcast, he's a youth football coach, and he's in the barbecue sauce business. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome number one in your hearts, number one in your programs, Nick Mangold.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, you know what? Nick's probably one of the easiest, coolest guys we probably ever had on this podcast to talk to. Your shirt's a vibe. You are a vibe.
I'm feeling it.
You're coming in with your hat backwards.
It's the Fresh Prince shirt.
I love that.
And we all grew up in the same era.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And we all love Fresh Prince.
He is older.
Yeah. I mean, you're older than me, though. So. Yeah.
And he's older than me, too.
Don't let him fool you.
He just looks older.
But, you know, I love the vibe, bro. You're just so easy. Now, I do, because we mentioned you going into the Jets Ring of Honor. Is it true that you popped a beer and when they announced you, like, on the field?
Yeah.
That's dope. I love that.
It was one of those things. I was sitting.
Did somebody
there.
Dare you to do it? Or?
No. It was the night before, and I knew I had to speak. Right, and I had gotten good information that it was like, there's an echo when you're talking in a stadium, and like you just have to get past that. So I was like, all right, there's a little echo, and I was like, I had written out what I wanted, and I wasn't really reading it, but I knew it was, and short and sweet. I was like, I need something. I want something. So then I got in my mind, I was like, what if I cracked open a beer? Like, how cool would that be? I was like, this is great. And at first I was like, I should ask somebody if I'm allowed to do that. And I was like, you know what? No.
They're going to tell you no.
They're going to tell me no. So I'm going to ask for forgiveness rather
than
permission.
Always.
And so we get up to the suite and I asked the suite lady there, first quarter, I was like, I need one beer. And she's like, all right. And so she brings it over and she's about to open it. I was like, no, just put it in the fridge and make sure no one takes it. So I'm going to need that. And I slipped it in my back pocket. And I walked down there and, you know, I got to the end of it, cracked it open, you know, a cheers to the fans that were all there.
It was dope.
It was a lot of fun. It was
L'chaim, everybody.
L'chaim. When we were getting into Yiddish, we were going to go south quick.
All right. So tell me what it was like emotionally, spiritually, all those other things. Winning a national championship, a true freshman. Or you maybe would you rest your true freshman?
Oh man,
at Ohio State, I know it's a big game. The Miami, they're still mad. I mean,
they're still mad.
They're still mad.
It was clear pass interference. I mean, let's be honest with yourself.
they're still mad. That's all I'm saying.
They're still mad.
What about that, your freshman year? And then how did that kind of propel you to continue to go on from there? Like having success that early kind of changes people.
Yeah, it was mind blowing because, you know, the change from going from high school where you're playing in front of, you know, my high school, I was playing in front of maybe 1,000.
Dayton, right?
Kettering Ultra. And so we're a small school and we did not have a lot of people out for the games and everything. To then go into 100,000 people in a stadium. And we did not have a lot of success, my high school. My senior year, we did pretty well, but, you know, we didn't have we never got close to the state championship. And so as we're going along and we're winning all these games, and some of them are tight, but, we're staying undefeated. I was like, this is kind of awesome. Yeah. And then you go to the national championship, and as a center, they usually don't rotate you in. So I did find that kind of crazy that I was rotating in here and there. I'd play different chunks of time, and it was kind of an odd situation. It was like, I didn't play that much. Maybe I should have redshirted. it could have been fine. But it was an amazing experience. I'll never forget. We were playing Illinois in Illinois. I started the second half at center, and then it never took me out. And so I played the rest of the game, and then we went to overtime. We won that game, and it was an awesome, special feeling. I didn't start the next game, but it was great. Yeah, it was very weird. Now, to add to the weirdness, so we're in the national championship. We beat Michigan. It's amazing. We're going to the national championship. We're out in Glendale, Arizona, or Tempe, Arizona. That was back when it was at the old ASU stadium.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so we're out there, and we're coming up with a game plan. They're like, all right, Nick, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you in, you're going to rotate in like you have been here and there a little bit, but you're also going to be the goal line center.
The goal line center.
And I was like, and at the time I was like, yeah, of course. Like, let's do this. This is awesome. I'm going to be playing it. Like I have a package.
Yeah.
If we get on the goal line, I'm going to get in. So
like a nickel. Yeah. They got their own package.
I got my own package. That is me. So we're doing that. I go in I'm fresh off the bench. First play. Vince Wilfork, and I had forgotten about this till I saw it on the replay during COVID, jumped off sides in the first play, smashed me. I was like, oh my God. And then it came back to me. I was like, oh, I forgot about that. And it was wild to think that a team now, after playing 4 years college, 11 in the NFL, would trade out their center at one of the most crucial times. It worked.
Yeah.
And I guess our center at the time, Alex Stevanovich, he was a really good puller, and so we wanted him to pull, and we ran the power with Jim Tressel at Ohio State, so they wanted him pulling on the goal line, so that's why I came in. But it was wild. But then you talk about the emotions, and you're a freshman coming out of a small school.
Yeah.
18. You don't know nothing, right? And all of a sudden
What position did you play in high school, too?
The center, and then I started at linebacker, and then they moved me to D-line.
Okay. I'm just wondering, because I was like, dude, for you, small school, going to Ohio State, probably just body slamming young kids in high school.
Yeah, I always thought I was just
but like nobody puts their best lineman at center usually.
Right.
Though. Well, I started playing center at seventh grade.
Okay.
So it was, which is weird and really messing with my head this year because my son is in seventh grade.
Oh.
So like that's like, whoa, this is
crazy. It was the son I met the other day, right?
Yes.
Was that him?
Yep, okay. That was him. So... We're in seventh grade. The center at the time broke his hand, and it couldn't snap anymore. Can anybody snap? I was like, I'll try, and I was the center ever since. So, but you go through 14-0, you win a national championship, and then you kind of think like, all right, well, I guess we just do this again next year.
It's just easy.
That was fun. We just keep doing this. And we got close my sophomore year. We lost to Michigan. I think if we had won against Michigan, we might have been back in there. And then my junior year we won't talk about junior year. And then my senior year, we lost to Texas early on. We were trying a two-quarterback system that didn't really work out. It was Justin Zwick and Troy Smith.
Yeah.
I wish we had stuck with Troy. But, you know, things happen. We still beat Michigan, and got to go to the Fiesta Bowl again. Went to 3 Fiesta Bowls.
That's dope. So how was it? So you talked about cracking the beer with the Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
You just got inducted into the Ohio State Ring of Honor or Hall of Fame. Was there any beer cracking for that?
Now, see, it's a little different for the College Hall of Fame. There's like 15 people going in. It's all sports. So it's like it's kind of like a mass produced type thing.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's going to be an opportunity for that. Plus, I don't know if they sell alcohol in Ohio Stadium. I would probably have to look into that. But it is fun. I get to go in with Malcolm Jenkins. which is pretty exciting.
That is awesome. So I won a Super Bowl with Malcolm. It was his rookie year. And so he had the same impression you as your freshman year in college. He was like, dude, we won a Super Bowl rookie year. Like, yeah, do it again next year.
That's just what we do.
Yeah, it's easy. He's like, dude, that was great Ohio State. Never really lost. Come here. He's like, same
Super Bowl. Hey, fine. It's easy.
It's easy.
I know.
Love that guy. Really funny. Now, one of your biggest accomplishments in my eyes is that you started all 171 games you ever played. Is there something in the water with you New York Jets? Because that's the same thing as DeBrickishaw, too.
Yeah.
DeBrick was able to accomplish it. Where do you rank that on your list of all-time accomplishments?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I take pride in, but I also realize that I'm just very fortunate and lucky that I didn't have anything that really hurt. Brick and I coming in together in 06, the first time two offensive linemen taken by in the first round, I think, since the 1970s. And we had the longest streak together. I think we made it, 75, 76 games starting together before I broke the streak. I hurt my ankle and missed Baltimore,
yeah.
Ravens game. And so that was something we took pride in, that we were both playing together. And then Brick, he took it to a whole new level. Yeah, he missed one snap. And the only reason it was one snap that he missed was we were trying to do the hook and lateral, throw the ball around for the last play of the game. And so Darrell Revis got the snap at left tackle instead of DeBrickishaw Ferguson.
It's like very nonchalant, his voice. It's like so low key, so chill.
What was it like the first time you guys met coming in together? I mean, you guys are clearly probably two opposite people. I mean, besides both of you guys, very large human beings. He's much more soft-spoken. He tries to lean on his intelligence.
I know I'm not smart, so
no shot at you. Yeah, but...
yeah, don't worry. No, that's fine. I get it. I'm a dumb. Brick and I's story is hilarious. So we meet each other at the Senior Bowl after our senior year. And we're both on the same team. And... obviously playing offensive line, I like this guy. He's a nice guy and everything. So then you go through, the whole process, right? Next is the combine. So we go to the combine, and Brick was highly touted. He's going maybe first overall, second, or no one knows, but he's up there. So he's not doing any of the workouts. So he's playing it cool. So, at the combine, you're walking around Indy, right? And you get those train cars, and you're meeting all the different teams and everything. Me, not knowing, can I curse on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Not knowing from Shinola.
Yeah.
I'm dressed how I would dress if I was going out to the bar. I've got ripped jeans on. I think I may have had sandals on, a polo at best, maybe a t-shirt. I don't know. And a hat. And that guy was, and I'm walking through, going to these different rooms, and I turn the corner and I run into Brick. Brick's in a 3-piece suit.
No doubt.
And I was like, Brick, what are you doing? Why are you so fancy? He goes, this is a job interview. I need to put my best foot forward. It's like, shit, I'm not getting drafted.
It's funny because we got there right after the O-lineman in 06. Mm-hmm. And so, back then, what people don't know is they literally, it's not like everybody's in their own room. You have roommates. But when the O-liner leaving, they're moving people in. It's there's not a real big break. No, in between timing wise. So I remember hearing or seeing D Brick walking around with a whole suit on. That was a little bit of the talk of the town.
Good. So I'm not the only one.
Who is this guy? This one guy walking around in full suit.
Full suit.
Impress somebody.
And then the crazy part is, so then you continue on, you get to the draft.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not the smartest person. I thought the draft started at 1:00. I think it started at noon. I was on the golf course. So I missed the start of the draft. My mom calls me. He's like, you got to get home. The draft started. I was like, all right, I got 3 more holes, so I'm going to finish this out.
No doubt.
So I didn't know when I got drafted to the Jets that Brick had been picked number 4. I didn't find out the day after. I was like, I was doing an interview. And I was like, isn't it pretty neat that, we had 2 offensive linemen? We did? I had no idea.
So what was your score? What did you shoot that day?
It wasn't good. I was a little distracted.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
All right. Tell me, do you recall this situation or play then? Mark Sanchez calls his favorite moment with the Jets, the 4th-and-1 versus the San Diego Chargers. in the playoffs?
I do. That was a great one. We called our shot.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what do you remember about that play? And where does it rank?
So that play, it was in the playoffs in San Diego. We were running the ball to run out the clock. And so we get down there, and I feel like they took a timeout or there was a measurement or something. So we had time to talk to the coaches, and they're all like, yeah, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they looked at us, looked at the offensive line. Like, can we get it? Like, yes, we can get it. You ask an offensive lineman, of course they're going to say that.
Yeah.
So they gave us the opportunity, and we lined up. They even the Chargers were calling, it's coming right here, it's coming right here. We're like, yeah, it is. And we got the first down, was able to run out the clock and get the win. So that was a great play. My favorite play, though, with Mark. So that's up there. My favorite play with Mark. We're in Oakland. We're playing the Raiders. And I think it was Hot Dog Gate.
Okay.
Remember when Mark was eating a hot dog on the sideline?
Yeah.
So we
Hot Dog Gate.
Yeah.
It's crazy what New York media can do.
We had a lot of gates. so we're down near the goal line, and it's like third and five or so. I forget the down mm-hmm. distance. But we had a check with me play. And it was a run left type thing. And Mark comes up there, and I could hear like hesitation in his voice. And he's like, Nikki, what do we got here? And you can see on the film, I'm pointing to the left. And he made the right check, touchdown. Came off the field, and I think that it was like one of those things, you know, they get the sideline, they get the audio, and Shoddy, the coordinator at the time, was like, oh, great call, Mark, great call. And he didn't say a word.
He didn't give you any credit?
Gave me no credit. He had to in the meeting the next day because
you see the points. Pointing.
Yeah.
So
like,
what were you doing?
It wasn't like a small like that. It was a
were you giving? Were you just doing the count? You just saw where it was.
Yeah,
it was
three and four, and
yeah, let's go with three. Side.
Yeah, it's a simple one. We're not even looking at safeties. This was just
that sounds sort of like how could you see more than him because you're down.
So did you ever make any calls when you played? Because I played with Olin Krutz,
mm-hmm.
and Olin by far is one of the smartest linemen that I got to play with. But Olin made all the checks for all of his quarterbacks. Like he would get up there. And right before he got down, he'd look at the safeties, linebackers, make all the checks. And then only thing he'd have to do was just snap the ball because he made all the checks. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, we let him go. He goes to New Orleans. He's with the Saints and he's with Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing what he normally does for the last 10 plus years. Gets down right before he gets down and looks. All right. Mike, check. Mike. Wait. And then Drew goes, hey, what you doing? I got
1,000%.
I got this. Yeah. That's my job. Yeah. That's what I do. I just need you to block what I call out. I'm gonna do the front. I got everything. And for him, he was just like, oh, I've never had that before.
Was he happy about it or?
I think he was kind of happy about it. The fact that he just didn't have to do it, but it just was ingrained and instilled in him. Like I call it.
It didn't end happy.
No,
it didn't end happy
because. I started out with Chad Pennington,
yeah.
who was great and taught me a lot about protections and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, we worked together, but he had like full reign of it.
Yeah.
And then Chad got hurt the next year with Kellen Clemens, who was also 06er. So there was a lot of learning that year.
Yeah.
And then the following year, we had Brett Favre come in.
Yeah.
Brett was a gunslinger.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he wouldn't even call it protection.
Oh, that's
oh, wow.
Okay.
So how y'all figure that out if he doesn't call it protection? Do y'all just like backyard football? Like we just block it.
Yeah. like, Brett, do we have a tight end? No. All right. Then it's five of us. Like, we get running back, right? So we kind of made it up as we went. I mean, we were playing in San Diego and we had a whole game plan and then we got down early. We were down like 14-0 early in the game. So we were playing from behind. And all of a sudden, I think we ran. I think it was like 40 some straight plays of MPD protection, like so much so that we had to end up coming off at halftime. We had to come up with a whole new snap count depending on the direction of the formation because they were just teeing off on us. Like it was full dance and shoes. It was a wild, wild west. So then Sanchez comes in and that's when I took over. Like it was like, all right, I'll push the mic or I'll back it up and follow the safeties and everything. And then, from there, I did that through until because then I had Gino after that. And then when Fitz came in, Patrick, he was we were very much in coordination.
Mm-hmm.
I think he always had a trump card, but he kind of just let me do what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
Which made it a lot of fun.
Number one, I got to tell you, I've never heard, but you drew a great picture there talking about having dancing shoes as an O-lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying you guys are great dancers, but you guys are moving a lot, trying to just mm-hmm. pick up and survive.
Yeah. Because we did not have that in the game plan at all.
You just drew a great, like, that's a great picture.
We only had like two or three plays of empty, like,
yeah.
lined up for the week. And then all of a sudden we got back and Brett's like, well, we're throwing it. I'm just calling plays. I'm just like, okie dokie.
All right. This is what it is.
You're Brett Favre. Who's going to tell you no?
Right?
Nobody. Exactly. Especially at that point in time.
So I'm going to read something. So since, was it Pro Football Focus? This is where you rank since 2006. Fourth, second, first, sixth, 21st, first, 18th, 25th. You were by far the most dominant center in the Pro Football Focus era. Like that has to like, that. What is that? How does that resonate with you?
I really fell off at the end, though. I couldn't have got like a couple of teen years
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, we're 20 fast.
That was not good. I blame them. I think their stats were off. Yeah, I mean, it was...
Like, that's dope, man. Like, that's... Since 06, that's where you still rank today. Like, your stats are... And I don't know how they take stats with linemen. I couldn't tell you.
they don't, which
I don't want to bang on PFF today. That's not my thing. So go ahead.
I'm not banging on PFF, but like when you talk, it's especially in the Hall of Fame, you talk about like wide receivers.
Yeah.
You talk about quarterbacks and you can look at physical stats. Yeah. Like there aren't really a ton of stats for offensive linemen that you can judge, even though now, today, if you look at like Joe Namath stats compared to Aaron Rodgers stats, you'd be like, well, how's he in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Like Aaron, like that doesn't make any sense. So like there is a grading curve to mm-hmm. that.
I've never played for the Jets. I've only played against them. I've never actually come to New York and played against them either. So I don't understand the Jets.
I don't think we ever had Carolina. I went to Carolina.
Yeah. And I was in the same, even when I was in New Orleans, I never came up here. Yeah. So tell me, describe to me what it's like to play for the Jets your whole career, to be considered one of the best of all time for the Jets, and like just their fans and everything they mean, not only to you, but just on the outside looking in, like what is a Jets fan like?
Yeah, Jets fan is very passionate. They're diehard that they deserve a winner and they're yearning for a winner. And so they say it's very difficult to deal with the Jets fans, but Jets fans also recognize people who put the work in and who care about the team and try hard and really put their best effort. And that's something that I think gets overlooked a lot of times because mm-hmm. like, oh, the boo birds come out and like because they want the best and they want to see that you're improving.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as there's improvement, they're happy with it. But it's when, you know, when it seems like it's stagnant, that's when they get really upset. But it's usually between having a city with two teams right. is always difficult.
It's so really weird.
Big brother, little brother.
Big brother, little brother. They even split it into, I've heard it, white collar, blue collar. Like Giants fans are like prim and proper, and Jets fans are the dirty trash that we have laying around.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, between the two of them, they get crazy. But then what's funny is the same arguments that they'll have over between Jets and Giants, they have against Mets and Yankees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rangers and the Islanders.
Yeah. And the Devils.
Devils. Like, yeah.
It's just, they have, even though they're different teams, it's all the same arguments. You guys are crazy. Like, it takes me coming from the outside to realize that y'all are just doing the same arguments, just different teams. You're just picking teams. But it is. They're diehard fans who are very passionate and they're fantastic to play for. And to me, the other side of it, which, you know, we all experience 9/11 differently. And, you know, I was in high school and so it was in Ohio. And so I experienced a lot, was much different than anybody around here. And it hit me when we moved up here at first, it was like, all right, you know, the significance of it, you know, the reading of the names in the morning, you know, they don't have that on in Ohio. But every 9/11, they're reading all the names of those who have passed. And then we moved to Jersey and my kids are going to school and there's a tree planted there and we lost four people from the school in 9/11. So hearing the stories and the experiences of people here really give you a different perspective of things that they've gone through. And so knowing the hardships and knowing, you know, building the place back up as they did, you know, adds to that fever of like, we do want to get them a winner because they deserve a winner.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me this. When did you know it was time to retire? You played all these games. You started all these games. You're so successful. When did you know?
When they fired me.
Yeah. No. I was like, really? Okay.
No.
We've heard that answer before.
Yeah. So I got hurt in 2016. I tore my spring ligament, which... Seeing the doctor, I think the fancy foot doctors in Carolina. I forget the guy's
name. Dr. Anderson.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I think this is the third one I've ever seen. I was like, well, at least it's a real injury. Like, I'm not like I'm.
Yeah, not just, some, you're not just, yeah.
Yeah. You feel so something. I was like, all right, I feel better about that. So I started my rehab and everything. I got put on IR. I was in a cast for a while and then doing my rehab. And the Jets released me while I was in Disney. Which stunk, but somewhere around like
did they call
February,
and tell you at least?
They did call and tell me. I was in Mexico at Epcot, which was disappointing. Kind of ruined Disney for a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And they hate when I say that I got fired because they're like, well, you were released. I was like, isn't this the same thing? So then I'm still doing the rehab and I'm trying to get right. And because in my mind, I'm a football player. That's what I do. I'm going to go. And so I got an opportunity to visit down in Baltimore. And so I went down there. It was the first time I'd ever stepped into another team's facility. Mm. I've been to, because I didn't take any trips for the draft.
Right.
I was like my roommate, AJ Hawk, he was crisscrossing the country before
the
draft.
He was everywhere.
And then I didn't get one visit. And I called my agent, like, what's going on? Why am I not visiting anybody? And he's like, it's okay. Like they have all your numbers and everything. I was like, all right, well, because again, I don't think I'm getting drafted because of things that are going on. So it was weird for me, like going into Baltimore. It's a beautiful facility. Like it was very nice. Had a nice sit down meeting with them and everything. And I was on the train back and they were like, they lowballed the offer. I was like, well, I'm not healthy anyways. I still couldn't pass a physical. So I'm going to stay rehabbing and we'll see where it gets to. And it got to mandatory training, mandatory
OTS, minicamp.
Yeah, minicamp. And my son at the time was in kindergarten. I was still rehabbing, but it was getting better. Like I was right around where it's like, all right, I think I can like really do stuff. I was running and everything. Mm-hmm. And Baltimore came back with an offer that matched kind of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, now it's out of the abstract world of like, of course I still want to play. Like And now it's real. I signed my name on this piece of paper. I got to be there tomorrow. And so then it like struck me. Well, am I really that healthy? Do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to give it my best? Because like, is it, do I need to find out and all that stuff? And so at that point I was like, I, I'm going to have to pass because I still don't think it's quite right. Like I'm questioning. And then I go to my kid's kindergarten graduation and I'm going through and I was like, I think I'm done. Unless somebody comes and says like, they're going to give me $10 million to play.
Blows your socks off.
Yeah. I was like, I think I'm going to enjoy the summer with my kids. Like this is going to be my first summer.
So tell me this though. Cause I want to know, did it ever come into your mind where you're like, where you were nervous? Like, well, not so much as the injury, but like, am I even the same player? Can I still perform?
No, because I think even now, I think I could go out there and perform. Although I see some of the guys, I'm like, oh my God, you're huge. So I think I'm messed up mentally that way. Mm-hmm. That like I have the utmost confidence in myself. It was more the foot and then where I was in my life. And, like, yeah. And you know, seeing, because then I was with my kids more. I didn't have OTAs and everything. So I was doing, you know, Mr. Dad stuff. And then having the prospect the summer and the crazy part for me, and I was waiting for it, was a lot of guys talk about when they're done, they get that moment like, oh, I miss it. Like I want to get back in, whether mm-hmm. that's OTAs, mandatory mini camp, start a training camp, start of the season somewhere along there, like where it hits them. Like I want to be back out there. And I never got that. So I felt at peace with where I was.
That's what's up. So, 2019, you went back and you got your degree from the university.
Good job. You're getting better today, Peanut.
Ohio State.
As long as we're all getting better.
I'm trying to respect it.
Doesn't have to be a big step.
I'm trying to respect it. What was the idea of going back to get that degree? And what did you get your degree in?
Okay. So my degree is a funny one because I started out in architecture.
Okay.
Found out that architecture and football do not mix.
You ain't got time, bro.
No,
you
don't
have time. You ain't got time for that.
Nope. That and nursing.
You got time.
Yeah. So I switched to business for my major. And because I had decent grades through my freshman year, I was able to pre-enroll. And they're like, well, you need to pick a minor or like, you know, especially in your business. And so I was just, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I looked down the list. I saw the one that had management on it. And I was like, I'll do that one. So sign me up for that one. I signed up for operations management, which is inventory and supply chain. I was like, this is the most boring business degree I could ever go for. I'm learning about, you know.
You're too much of a people person.
Yeah, I was just, well, because I was a freshman. I had no idea what I was doing. And they were just like, here, you got to pick one. I was like, well, management sounds good. I like to be in charge. I'll do that one. And no, it was operations management. So it's all about first in, last out, last in, last in. It was a whole big thing. So I went through my whole college career of doing stupid inventory.
Looks like something stuck. You're like,
first. It's still stuck. The Kanban system is still in there. It's in there. And so I had five classes my senior year, and Ohio State was still on the quarter system at the time. And I had to pass, four of them were core business classes, and one of them was an old physics series that I had to finish because I took architecture and it was an elevated series. So I had to go back and finish this physics. So I was like, I can get a D. D gets you a degree. And so
they do.
So I was like, I'll just go to the midterm and the final. That's all I need. And so I did that. Midterm, I got like a C or something. I was like, that's perfect. Like, it's even better.
I'm already on the way.
Now I can get a D and I might even get a C. So I go to the class before the final just to get like, hey, maybe they'll give out some notes and, you know, give me a couple of heads up. Professor goes, all right, take out your pens and paper for our quiz. I was like, quiz? What quiz? The guy that's sitting next to me goes, yeah, we've been doing this all quarter. I was like, so I go up to the professor. I was like, yeah, I didn't see that on the syllabus. Like, you know, is there anything I do? Like make up work? Can I retake the quizzes? Like anything? He goes, no, you missed every quiz. So you could get 100 on the final and you'll still fail. Like, ah, you gotta be kidding me. So then I was like, all right, I'm not getting my degree. And so I let it go for a while. And then after a while, I was like, it's just one class. That's all I got to take and everything. But then I started having kids. Once you start having kids, I'm like, I don't want to waste time.
You don't have time.
Classes and everything. So it got elongated. And then because of a accounting glitch of some sort, they switched the semesters and changed some of the grade requirements and hours and everything, courses. On the new format, I had enough to graduate. So bam, I was done. Didn't have to take the class.
So that's how you got your degree.
Yeah.
That's a long story. It's like, I already got it, dog.
I had it the whole time.
I was just saying, y'all was so catching on. I didn't even know that. So that was a great. So how did they call you and let you know?
They called me and they're like, hey, Nick, we just realized, like, because we were going to hound you about taking this class, that you actually have all the credits you need.
You can just go get your cap and gown.
Yeah, so you just need to fill out this paperwork since you want to graduate in spring.
So did you? This is a great feel-good story.
Yeah.
So did you feel really good about walk this? Down? No. No walking?
I wasn't going to do the sham.
No.
Yeah, no. I had to go back. I went back and got mine. I went back two
what
years.
Year?
2008.
Okay.
My wife, who we were just friends at the time. She was charging me to do a couple of my classes. Appreciate that, babe. Shout out. And she was charging me premium prices because she knew I was in the league already. So she'd be like, hey, you know, we got this class. And these, I'm like, nah. And he's like, well, I did it for you, but it's going to cost you like $250. I'm like, all right, I got you. So, so handling all that. And then, so I actually did go back and walk, and I literally finished my degree and gave the diploma to my mom. She was the only reason I went back for it because I promised her I would do it. And I think it is something to be said about that. And you can look back at your kids and say, hey, I got mine.
Like, they don't need to know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They don't need to know the details.
I did find, so that was a big story out of the past off season with Sauce Gardner, that he went back and finished his degree. And I was talking to him about that and why he did it. And he was saying, he was like, for my mom. Like, yeah. She wanted me to do it. It's something I promised I would do. And so I went back and did it.
I mean, it's also kind of really cool when you go back on campus when you're in the league and like you're kind of that guy. Like,
flex on him a little bit.
Oh, there's no doubt. I had to drop top ends.
Yeah, you flex on him. You flex on him.
Shout out. It was great. Now, I want to know how you got into the barbecue business with Mangold 74 Barbecue. And we can kind of talk about some of the different flavors. I wrote them all down if you don't mind me sharing. So, I mean, you got the OG. Shout out to your oldest son.
Oldest son.
Your original son. The spicy.
Spicy.
Well, your second son. I guess that's his kind of his attitude.
So he's a carbon copy of my oldest son. He's just a firecracker.
Yeah.
So
that's what I read about that. And then you got the honey barbecue.
That one hasn't come out yet because I can't. So because
these are all your own flavors that you kind of put your own. Yeah, you put them together.
So the first two are out, the OG and the spicy. The other two for my girls are still, the one is done and the one is still in development.
Yeah.
Because I can't get the honey barbecue to be not too sweet.
Ah.
It always comes out too sweet.
And you got to cut it with something. You got to try and figure that out.
Not enough honey flavor. Like, I want more of that honey flavor, but I don't want to make it too sweet. So I'm struggling with that a little bit. But the other one is the apple cider vinegar one. That's like a Carolina style. That's for my baby. She was born in the fall. So apple cider.
So how'd you get into it?
Started when my first son was born. I wanted to help out around the house, right? And I didn't want to do anything crazy difficult, so I said I would help cook. And so I started doing a lot of the cooking around the house. And it's transitioned now that I'd probably do like 90% of the cooking. My wife does breakfast in the morning before school. And then after that, I handled the rest, like all dinners. And so I started cooking. And I really enjoyed cooking and doing everything. Like, any cuisine, you name it, I'm trying to make it. And then it was like 2014, I want to say, Ron Heller, who played in the 70s and 80s from Strong Island. He came as an assistant offensive line coach for us. And he is a he's a certified barbecue judge. And he takes his barbecue seriously. So he gets me into barbecuing.
Yeah.
Because I've always liked barbecued meat, but I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, especially like a brisket. Like a brisket, you got to take your time with that. And you got to do it
especially
right.
Especially if you're like a judge, like these guys do not play about this.
Right.
This
you is got like, the injection, the trimming.
The bark.
Getting on the bark, the burnt
the
ends,
ring around it.
Oh, the smoke ring. Like there's a lot to it. So he actually came over and he basically like held my hand and did a whole brisket with me from start to finish, which was amazing. So then I'm doing pork butts, I'm doing the ribs, doing the chicken, and I'm going through this and making all the stuff and doing what I like to believe pretty good. Like good eats. And I'm buying barbecue sauce. And I was like, you know, I like cooking and I like barbecuing. I bet I can make up my own barbecue sauce. And so I was like, so I got into the lab and I was looking at recipes and everything and taking a little bit from here and a little bit from here and kind of mixing and matching and came up with my own sauce that I really enjoyed. And my wife really enjoyed it. And so I was like, all right, like this is my barbecue sauce. And I would use it for friends and family. And like, that's, yeah. and that's it. And everyone who would come over be like, oh, this is great sauce. Like, you know, you did a great job. But you know, when you cook something for somebody in front of them,
they're just trying to be nice.
Are they trying to be nice? Like, are they like, they're not going to be like, well, this is trash. Like, yeah. don't send me home with the extras. I'm good. So you never really know. So after I was done playing, 2019 rolls around, I'm talking with my partner. I'm like, he's like, what do you want to do? Like, and it was my marketing guy and partner. And he's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I play Mr. Mom for my four kids and stay at home dad. Like, I run them around and everything. And we had little kids. Our kids were really little at the time. And I was like, I don't know. I've never created something. It would be fun to create something. I've created four kids and that's it. Like, yeah, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
So then he's like, well, what about the barbecue sauce? I was like, well, I did create that. He goes, why don't we try to sell that? I was like, because I don't know how to. I was like, do you know how to? And he's like, no, I don't know how to. So like, well, then we'll do this adventure together. So we started from there. I've learned a lot along the way of, you walk down that aisle and you see all those barbecue sauces and each individual bottle, the effort that goes into each one of those is absurd. And so we went through the process, got it bottled up. And luckily for us, the first line of production came off March 23rd, 2020. If you recall what happened like, March 23rd.
Is that like the that's not, that sound like a great time?
No, yeah. It was not a good time. That was horrible time.
Like a good time on that side looking at it.
No, okay, looking back on it. So now I got all this barbecue sauce that I want to give to people and you can't see anybody.
No.
Especially up here in the New York area. So we kind of counted that as our soft open. And COVID really did hurt a lot of the little people because even as we're coming out of it, we all got hit with the supply chain issues and everything got more expensive. And local distributors aren't taking on little projects because they want to make sure that they have their mainstay. Like, as long as Heinz is still producing, we know that they're good.
Yep.
This little producer, they might get stuck and not be able to get their jars in or something. So no one's taking them on. So right now we have online sales. I'm the distributor for the most part. We have a couple of stores locally that carry it. We have a barbecue pulled pork sandwich in the stadium for Jets games, which is pretty cool. I got a couple of restaurants that serve it on their menu. The barbecue chicken wings is always the big hit. And it's been a lot of fun. And it's a neat passion project. There's no money to be made in sauce. Basically just on a treadmill, just going nowhere. But it is fun. And it's neat that it's correlating with my kids. We also give a portion of the proceeds to Answer the Call, which is a charity here in New York City that helps families of fallen first responders on the job. And I've been with Answer the Call now almost 10 years. And they do amazing work. So the fact that we're able to give back monetarily, not just lending my beautiful smiling face, has been pretty special for me.
Yeah. So has your degree helped with anything in your operations management, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the business side, has it helped with helping you run your barbecue sauce business?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No clue. Nothing.
Okay. We don't have a large enough volume to be like, all right, well, we had this inventory is turning over. It's like when that inventory turns over, we have to buy a new one.
Yeah.
And have that just keep pulling from it. So it's more of a passion project than it is a full business.
I got you.
Well, just know when you distribute it to Charlotte, North Carolina, it's going to be your
boy. They're going to eat it up. They're going to eat it up. So your wife being your biggest fan, have you thought about making a sauce for her?
No, mainly because I like the kid aspect of it. Okay. Because she likes the original. And then she really likes the spicy. So I feel like I can't make anything better than those two. That she's because she always liked the original. So it's like, how do you, that was kind of hers as well.
Yeah.
And it folds I think working in the kids kind of.
It just plays better.
Plays better.
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite food to grill? And also, what's your grill setup look like?
Grill or smoke?
Oh.
Because there's a big difference.
It is a huge difference. Mm-hmm. For me, it's going to be smoking chicken wings.
I don't like smoking chicken wings.
No.
No.
It just cooks so much more evenly for me.
But I need a crispy chicken wing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You're
right. All right, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
No, it's quite all right. My favorite thing, and it's always cliche, but a pork shoulder is the best thing to do because it's so versatile. it's so juicy and delicious. And you when you inject it the night before and everything, and you take your time with it with the rub. And it usually is pretty foolproof, as long as you know what you're doing and you have the time to let it get to temp. If you pull that thing too early, it's not going to go well. So I've gotten to the point where like pulled pork is not for dinner that night. Like I will do a pulled pork knowing like, all right, we're going to have this later, because if it doesn't, if it's not done at six, I'm not going to try to rush it. And kids got to eat. So
yeah, that's true.
So, but the pork shoulder is probably my favorite. Although ribs have come around big in my household.
My kids love ribs. It will destroy a whole slab.
Yeah, I like the little baby rib, the riblets.
See, I'm a St. Louis cut.
Oh, I'm a St. Louis guy myself.
I get it. You guys are up north, man. I get it. I'm just telling you, it's not for everybody. You know what I mean?
Well, that's fine. Actually, I got in trouble. I was doing Super Bowl Radio Row. I'm talking with a couple of guys from Houston, the radio station in Houston. And it was early on when I had just started the sauce. And they were asking me, like, well, what kind of style is it? Is it Texas? Is it Carolina? Is it Memphis? You know, what?
That is funny because barbecue is very particular.
They are.
Very regional.
Yeah, they're very regional.
Very, yes.
So, and I didn't really know how to answer them. So I was like, well, you know, it doesn't really have a direct like location because I pulled from a lot of different things and you know it's kind of its own unique flavor. You know it's barbecue sauce. You taste it like that's barbecue sauce, but you can't say like, well, that's Carolina. Like you can't pinpoint it. And so then I was like, so I guess it's kind of, I don't know, I guess it's like New Jersey barbecue sauce. And they both like went, don't you ever call it.
This stuff's made New York City.
Don't you ever call it New Jersey.
That's exactly what that is. Yes,
the exactly. Salsa. Yeah.
This stuff's made New York City. Get the room, boys.
And I was like, oh, all right, maybe I won't. So that gave me a good story out of it. So, yeah. But it's a unique flavor that you've never had before, but you know it's barbecue.
Okay. One of the questions that we ask all our people on the show is a Mount Rushmore question. For people that have had some type of an influence on your life, career, whatever, coach, mom, dad, cousin, Jesus, anybody.
Jesus. Who
Jesus.
Very, I like him very much, but he knows me at the curveball.
So,
Major League.
Major League, yeah. Serrano. Yeah. Yeah. Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore?
So it's got to be my mom to begin with, because she's the one that said you have to play a sport every season. Doesn't matter what sport, but you have to play a sport.
Love it.
I think that helped me be well-rounded, instilled the work ethic in me and everything. So that was huge. And my wife, because we started dating in high school, so she's been through college and the NFL with me. And
did she go to Ohio State as well?
She went to OU.
Okay.
Athens, the Bobcats, which was awesome. Because I had the factory that was the Ohio State University for football.
Uh-huh.
And then I could go down to Athens on the weekend and get the college experience.
Yeah.
Where it's like just a college town.
It's so different than Columbus.
So different.
And I don't think people understand that. You have the huge university in Columbus, the Ohio State.
Yeah, and you're in the downtown. Yeah. And it's like a city. And you don't really have that same feel of like walking, you know, to like High Street and is not the same thing as, I don't know, Court Street. I see, I still got it.
Yeah. There it is. Uh-huh.
Not today, CTE. So it was such a different feeling. Mm-hmm. And like that was awesome to be able to get like have an escape to. So that worked. And so my wife, I mean, she took care of the house and took care of the kids and did everything. So I didn't have to worry about it through my career. Like she made sure everything was running. And all I had to do was focus on what I needed to do. And then I would say probably. Ooh, this is where it gets tough because now you're in the coaches and players.
You only got two.
I know, and I only got two. So like,
pick them wisely.
It is difficult. So I'm going to go with Alan Faneca being the third, because he was when he came in to the Jets. His daughter was three at the time. I want to say something like that. So he showed me not only how to take care of himself, how to take care of the football player and how did they be that, but also how to be a father and parent in the NFL and a husband. And so he was a shining example of, you know, he made a point because I asked him one time, I was like, you know, how much film do you watch at home? And he goes, none. How do you not watch film at home? He goes, because when I get home, I'm dad. Like, if I need to do work, I do it here. And if it means I got to stay an hour later here to get all my work done, I get my work done. But I don't bring it home because at that point, I'm just daddy. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, that's like, smart. That's wise advice. I like that. So he helped, you know, not only professionally, but also personally. So that was, yeah,
that's cool.
That's a good one. And then it's a toss up. I got two candidates going here. So I have my offensive line coach from college, Jim Bowman. Mm-hmm. And my offensive line coach at the Jets, Bill Callahan. Both great options. I think as much as I want to go with Bill, I'll have to go with Bowman just because he was the one who laid like the groundwork of how I needed to look at myself as a player. Because I wasn't never the strongest in the weight room. I could squat a ton, but I could never really bench that much.
I share your pain.
And one of those things that he told me was like, don't ever, because there was guys like I was following up with Charles Bentley.
Yeah. He's a massive
human.
Yeah.
I did a recruiting visit and he was working out. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm not going to make this happen because I can't do that. And so he sat me down and was like, listen, don't ever compare yourself to any of the other guys as you're lifting. Compare yourself to yourself. As long as you're improving, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's good. And his other advice that helped me, I think, throughout my career was saying, you know, football is like a roller coaster. A game is like a roller coaster. You have the highs and you have the lows. And it you know, dips and ebbs and flows and everything and twists and turns. He goes, if you want to be truly great, make that roller coaster flat. Don't let the highs get you too high. Don't let the lows get you too low. Just even keel. Move on to the next play, whether good, bad, indifferent, just flatten out that roller coaster. Like, all right. So I kept with that. Like, I never, I got excited, touchdown.
I hear what you're saying.
But, like, if I had a great block, then it was like, all right, well, I still got to do it again. Or if I, you know, got beat.
You're able to hit the reset button.
Yeah. And it was like, all right, listen, that's in the past. We win the next one.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good job, man. I appreciate this, man. You've been really good, Nick. I knew within the first 3 seconds when we talked and met you outside, this was going to be a good one. And so you wear your attitude and your great personality on your sleeves and in your shirts.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you, man. Thanks for blessing us with your time.
No free ads, Roback, great shirts.
Man, they're breathable, too.
They're breathable, lightweight, Q-zips.
Sweatproof.
Hoodies, polos.
They got a lot of people wearing them right now.
That I know, they're hot. And I have so many. I have an addiction.
Oh, it's really?
Bad. Oh, yeah. I just keep buying them. Like,
no, mine anymore. I think you're good.
No, I don't know. I keep trying to, like, hey, you mean send it this way?
Well, you tried now. You got free.
Call me.
All right. You probably won't get it if you keep winking at him like that. Just a little advice.
You never know.
You never know. All right, man. Well, look, man, thank you as always, Nick. And also for all of our listeners and viewers thank you so much. Always tune in wherever you can pick up your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio Podcast. Please continue to listen. Give us a 5-star rating, a view. Click that follow button. Tell a friend to please tell a friend to what, Peanut?
Tell a friend.
There we go. And Peanut, get us up out of here, man. Thank you. iHeart Radio Studios as well.
And we appreciate y'all. Nick, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm Peanut. That's Roman. This is NFL Players Second Acts Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools.
From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.